talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I'm going to start with something that everybody's been talking about. It's been all over the news. People have speculated on this network, on every network, as to who did it, who done it. Sherlock Holmes mystery. Who disclosed, who gave a copy of the preliminary opinion in the Dobbs case, to the people who published it? And people sort of get it. They think they know it. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to solve it conclusively right now in this segment. And we're going to get deeper into it and deeper into the clues. And I don't think there's any doubt who did it. And here's my thinking. It's a several month investigation, many month investigation. The authorities, the FBI, interrogated, I think, 90 some odd people. There were over 100 statements and interviews made. All these clerks and people had to sign affidavits under oath, saying that they didn't do it. But none of the people talked to was a Supreme Court justice, and none of them was a spouse of a Supreme Court justice. So what did they find from interrogating this roughly 100 people? All the law clerks, secretaries, all these people. Under oath, they all said they did not do it, although some of them disclosed that they told their spouses. And then I assume they talked to the spouses of the law clerks, but not the spouses of the justices. So you can rule out with good interrogation techniques. I don't know if they gave them lie detector tests, but I've been involved in representing clients who took lie detector tests. And believe it or not, they're not admissible in court, by the way. But believe it or not, they're pretty accurate and pretty impressive. None of the clerks, none of the secretaries, none of the guards, none of the janitors, none of the staff did it. But it got done. So why wouldn't you interview the justices, nine of them, and their spouses? Why wouldn't you do that? The reason you wouldn't do that is if they told you they didn't agree to do it. And you can say, okay, well, we're going to go to the U.S. attorney in Washington and get him to convene a grand jury and force you by subpoena. No, they're the Supreme Court. They're the Supreme Court. No one elected them. And they're the ultimate decision makers on whether or not a subpoena should be quashed. Now, if they themselves were subpoenaed, that would be a clear conflict of interest, but they have no code of ethics. Every other judge in this country, from a traffic judge up to the U.S. Court of Appeals and state Supreme Court, has a code of ethics, but not the U.S. Supreme Court. They've exempted themselves from any code of ethics. And Justice Clarence Thomas, for instance, sat on a case in which he benefited his own wife. There was a subpoena for certain documents of hers, and he voted not to enforce that for his own wife. Fortunately, he was the only one, but they have no code of ethics, and several of them have no ethics at all. Here is my view of it, and I really don't think this is refutable, because they won't deny it. The Dobbs decision, 6-3, upheld the Mississippi abortion law, which limits abortions to the first 15 weeks. Now, oddly enough, that's not that much different from Roe v. Wade in this respect. Roe v. Wade, if you read it, says there can't be any restrictions in the first trimester, which is roughly, 12, 13, 14 weeks. It says that some restrictions can be put in the second trimester and even more in the third trimester. As a practical matter, the judges have deferred to doctors and women, which they should. So the image of Roe v. Wade is one where it's up to the doctors and the women. But if you read it, believe it or not, that's not entirely the case. So far, limiting it to 15 weeks is what they do in a lot of European countries. Some of the most advanced European countries you look at, France, Sweden, Germany. However, there was another issue in the case, and that was whether to get rid of Roe v. Wade itself, which didn't have to be done. Justices of the Supreme Court are supposed to address the narrow issue and not go freelancing and shooting their mouth off. The correct legal term for that is they're supposed to address the specific issue and avoid constitutional issues, if at all possible. In the vernacular, which I'm translating for you, it's don't freelance and shoot your mouth off, okay? Well, they freelance and shut their mouth off. They go, okay, we're going to uphold the Mississippi law. And that was 6-3. And Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice, joined in on that. But on the second one, where it was, now should we freelance and shoot our mouth off? Should we reach a constitutional issue? Should we reach a lot of other things? Justice Roberts wouldn't go along with that. He is probably more of a true conservative than some of the others. He said, no way. I'm not going to do it. But it was still going to be, even with him, it would have only been 5-4. So what happened? It is a very, very thinly guarded secret that he worked on Kavanaugh. Now, Kavanaugh is a younger guy, and he's not as hung up on abortion as some of the older people. And it looked as if Kavanaugh would go along with Roberts and say, all right, I'll uphold the Mississippi law 15 weeks, but I'm not going to shoot my mouth off and freelance, i.e. reach a constitutional issue if I don't have to. And then Roe v. Wade would have been preserved. The motivation to release this was not some motivation on the left to, quote, embarrass them, end quote, and get them to, quote, change their mind, end quote. Are you kidding me? The motivation was to squeeze Kavanaugh and make sure that once it was out there that he'd voted a certain way in a preliminary basis, that he wouldn't change. Justice Alito authored the opinion. Justice Alito, back in 2014, was accused. A lobbyist said he tipped us off in advance to the decision in the Hobby Lobby case. How did he do it? He's not stupid. He's not going to just call up the press. He had a guy over for dinner with his wife. And over drinks, he said to him, here's how we're going to decide the Hobby Lobby case. That guy, in turn, told people who were hardcore on the issue, and that's how it got around. Alito denied that he said that, but they never questioned Alito because he's a Supreme Court justice and he has no code of ethics. And yet he's the guy that wrote the Dobbs opinion. Now, the other possibility, but I'm going to narrow it to Alito, was Clarence Thomas and Ginny Thomas. Ginny Thomas was off freelancing as part of the Stop the Steal business, and Thomas has no code of ethics, and he's one of the ones who rule in her favor on his own wife. There is no doubt in my mind that what happened was this. Alito had a guy over for drinks or for dinner. And then at the end of the dinner, he said, you know, this Dobbs thing, here's how it's going to turn out. And by the way, you should go into my library, take a look at some of my books. I'll tell you what, I have a hell of a library. Guy walks into the library and there on the desk is a copy of the Dobbs preliminary opinion. And he takes it. And he's not stupid. He doesn't give it to Politico. Politico is never going to know how this thing originated. And then it comes out. Kavanaugh gets it. He can't switch. There is no doubt in my mind, not only would Holmes solve this, Watson, who's dumber than a $3 bill, his sidekick, his running dog. We're going to the lines. Joanna Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joanne?
That you've been covering the devastating consequences of a government shutdown. But there are some things that very few people are mentioning that will be very, very damaging to our nation and the world. Non-essential discretionary federal programs close, and some of those supposedly non-essential programs deal with things like collecting data for climate. I know I'm a professor, okay, and I've done some research on this, and some of the people who collect data for about hurricanes and all that, they get suspended. They can't do their work. They can't communicate with their colleagues to make sure that the devastating consequences of various weather events don't demoralize and disrupt communities. They can't do their work, and it's because it's considered non-essential, and a lot of these people are here in town doing research. In Middleton, we have an outfit that does that. But it's not just the climate data. Economic data are disrupted. You see, data don't collect themselves. I mean, we think of these little robots out there collecting. Somebody's got to organize this and make sure things are the servers are running and all of that. So what we have are major disruptions. And of course, we had a shutdown not too long ago, a few years ago, and that did enormous damage, not just to our relationships with other governments. We share data. For example, I ran into an incredible story about how the kinds of data we were sharing with Canada about wheat and all of that, and crops, all of this was disrupted because these non-essential government programs were put on hiatus. Because of why? It's not a joke, you know, to cut out these programs. And bless you for all of the work that you're doing in this area. We need to speak up. And my next call right now is going to be to Ron Johnson, and Tammy knows this. To Ron Johnson, and try to do something about this. We need to stop this now. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Well, Joanne, thank you. I love to have you call in. It's great to have a professor call in. And you bring some very, very good information. And here's the deal. This business of only initially cutting out so-called non-essential people is only half the issue. We're going to have a quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to pick up briefly on what Joanne just said about the government shutdown. We went into it in some depth last time, but that is going to dominate the news for a long time. We hit the debt limit yesterday. We hit it yesterday. And Janet Yellen is now is in emergency mode. But you don't understand, all of us, what emergency mode is. Emergency mode is that she will pay some bills and not others and juggle things around. She will stop making contributions to federal pensions, with an IOU that they'll pay for it once the Republicans let them do it. They will stop paying some doctors on Medicaid. They'll say, we'll pay you sometime. Some of those doctors are going to have to not take Medicaid patients anymore. And Medicare. They'll also say, we're not going to pay meat inspectors, food safety inspectors, air traffic controllers, maybe just a few of them, have them work 20 hours. This is devastating to this country. And I've gone over the two ways that Joe Biden can stop it. One is a discharge petition in the House. Another one is invoking the 14th Amendment. We're going to talk some more about that, but we're going to the lines right now. Adrian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Adrian?
Hey, Matt, as you've pointed out many times, the 14th Amendment says that the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned.
Right.
And since that's in the Constitution, I don't understand how the Congress can pass a law saying, doing just that, questioning the debt beyond a certain point of the United States. I mean, it would take a constitutional amendment to another constitutional amendment to override the 14th Amendment or part of the Constitution. How are they getting by with doing that without with just the say so of the Congress and not a constitutional amendment?
Excellent question. So let me put it to you this way. I want to get into this. This is very, very important. It's the most important thing facing us right now. A constitution is not self-enforcing. I don't know if people realize this, but there are dozens of countries, repressive countries in the world, who have adopted our whole constitution, every one of them. First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. But they still go at midnight, beat people, drag them out of their house, and torture them. And they all say, they deny they did it. You have to mean it when you want to enforce the Constitution. When you have a Republican leadership that has become an enemy of the United States, that does not believe in the Constitution, they act unconstitutionally. Now, here's the deal. The money that we're talking about on the debt limit has already been allocated and much of it spent. This is only a second vote on whether we should pay the bonds on the money that we raised to pay for this stuff. Well, the Republicans are saying we shouldn't pay our bills. Think of it this way. You go out in a credit card and you buy a computer in Best Buy. You bring it home. The bill comes and you go, no, I have to make a separate decision whether I'm going to pay the bill, even though I have the computer. Nah, I'm not going to pay the bill. Now they'll sue you, of course. But who's going to sue the United States? The bondholders, foreign countries? Sure, they can try. That's what's going on. We're one of the few countries in the world that has a two-step process. You vote for the stuff. They all love this vote for the stuff and boast to their constituents. They sell bonds to take out. Basically, it's a loan that you sell a bond. Investors pay into it. You use the money. And then they go, no, but you have to vote a second time on whether we're going to honor those bonds. This is fraud. This is fraud. McCarthy is a fraud, and so is the Republican leadership. They're all frauds. So what do we do? Janet Yellen, it would be as if you fell on hard times and you paid some bills and you waited till somebody to complain, and then you paid another one and another. So she is going to shoot it around. And Joanne had just called in to say, well, you know, who are essential workers? That's what she's trying to face right now. Who are essential workers? Only because she's juggling stuff. I think meat inspectors are essential workers. I think the Coast Guard and the FBI are essential workers. They all didn't get paid last time. I think that data compilers, as she suggested, for hurricanes, for climate, for the military, for everything, are essential. There's no such thing as a non-essential worker, but people are claiming there are some that are non-essential. What is being done is holding us up. And Adrian's point, your excellent point, Joe Biden, it says in the 14th Amendment, the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned. It mentions pensions. It uses the word pension in the 14th Amendment. And so now we're going to have to not pay into pensions. That is a violation of the 14th Amendment. If I were president, Joe Biden is president, I would tell the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, pay this stuff. Pay it. Pay it. The 14th Amendment says it. What's holding that up is that there are people in the Treasury Department and in the Federal Reserve who say, well, we need congressional approval. Hey, Joe, fire them. Put people in. Give them a copy of the 14th Amendment and say, do it. I'm the president. Now, the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, will issue a ruling saying that he can't do it because of Charles I had a blonde beard, or, you know, whatever BS that they go back into an English common law. Too bad. Do what Andrew Jackson did. You say to him, you bring him in and say, how many soldiers do you have? How many guns do you have? Keep your goddamn mouth shut. Now, that's why I'm not president and Joe Biden is, because that is a harsh thing. But you are absolutely right. The 14th Amendment says the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned, and you got to pay pensions. It says that in the Constitution, and it's not self-enforcing. It takes somebody to enforce it, and the only one who will enforce it now is Joe Biden. If you had four or five honest Republicans in the House who would issue a discharge petition, we could do it that way. But there are some hard times coming up. We're going to talk about this some more. Quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Blood is the rose of mysterious union. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knees. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order, starting with Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday there to you, Matt. First of all, I mentioned it on an earlier show, but they need to hire the IRS agency to go after the tax cheats, very wealthy, and that would help with the deficit a lot. And this is a three-ring circus. Well, it's actually a one-ring circus with about 15, 20 people. But I'm just so thankful we have Joe Biden as the president. He has the experience, and he'll figure out a way, I think, to get us out of this without creating too much damage. I remember going through one of these before, and it was not a good thing. I think it's been going on since the 90s, Newt Gingrich. And the last thing I want to mention, besides the IRS and happy to have Biden as the president, is it's just what's going on in Ukraine. I know you've touched on this before. It's just god-awful. And is there any hope there? And thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. That was, you said a mouthful. We'll be getting into a lot of those in this show and future shows. Always appreciate your call. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day. Gene of Eau Claire.
Hi. You know, this disruption of the functioning of government, you know, they're not doing it with weapons, but they're doing it by force, which, your caller gave a really good insight, because I didn't even think of this. This was, you know, Joanne, you know, about the statistics, the data. You can't do a lot of things or advance ideas or anything without data. And I think that is extremely important. Now, they're disrupting, you know, the government. They are disrupting the normal process and activities and things that they have to get done. This is subversive. To me, it's like subversive, you know, attacks against their government. And it just drives me bananas. I mean, I just can't believe this. And then with the Supreme Court justices, Thomas needs to go. The other guy needs to go that, you know, leaked the, I believe he leaked also what he was going to do with Roe v. Wade. And then also there was some kind of working together with some of the super strong evangelicals there was that one judge, which is really, it's alarming, it's sick, and somebody needs to do something about it that has, like, legal ramifications for these people, because this is a crime against all of us, significantly. And then to lie about it and to play games with the people's lives is just, oh, unbelievable, Matt. And I hope you all get arrested. And, boy, we need more people working in the Department of Justice that have some kahunas to go after these people and the damages that they're doing to society and to our government. It's just nuts. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, Matt. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Gene. I always enjoy your calling in. I appreciate you raised some very important issues, and we're going to address them. Just to give you, this is not actually funny, but to give you an idea, if you thought that the Republican Party, and when I talk about the Republican Party, I'm not talking about Republican voters. I mean, Republican voters are Americans. They vote as they want. Democrats vote as they want. Frequently, people cross over. They're independent. So I'm talking about a truly, truly corrupt leadership of the Republican Party. Now, let's move to Iowa, okay, our adjacent state. Been to Iowa, great state, friends in Iowa. You will not believe this. You will not believe this. They have a gerrymander. Well, no, they have fair maps, but somehow they got a Republican majority in their state legislature. 39 Republican state legislators in Iowa just came out with a proposal, which could become law, that said food stamp recipients, they call them SNAP recipients, that's an acronym for the program, cannot use the money they get, I'm not kidding, to buy white bread, American cheese, fresh meat, buns with nuts or seeds in them, white rice, pasta sauce, canned fruits, cans of soup, baked beans, cheese slices, butter or flour. Or people who get this money can't buy those things. What the law will say is that they can only buy foods that are approved for the WIC program, W-I-C, Women, Infant, Children. But a representative of the WIC program came out and said they do not understand what's going on here. The WIC program frequently will have people who are poor who also get the SNAP, the food stamp benefits. The WIC program is designed to supplement the SNAP, the food stamp program, and to provide nutrition for pregnant women, new mothers, and infants. So, you know, an infant may not eat baked beans, but if you see what I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. These characters are trying to pull a fast one over in Iowa. They're trying to say that food stamp recipients, the SNAP recipients, poor people who may not be, certainly not pregnant or women or new mothers or infants, are limited to the foods that the WIC program sets out to supplement other food programs. Now, who in God's name? In other words, people who sign up for this are people who generally are poor, and they frankly have food deprivations, and they want to feed their families. This will now say in Iowa, you can't use this state money, and much of it is federal. I'm hoping the federal government puts an end to this. You can't buy white bread, American cheese, fresh meat, buns with nuts or seeds in them, white rice, pasta sauce, canned fruits, cans of soup, baked beans, cheese slices, butter, or flour. So, you know, I think they want them to go out and buy, you know, who knows what they want them to buy. And the people at the counter are going to what? Have to scrutinize this? You know, there was a lot of support for food stamps among farmers because it's a market for their products. Most people in this country, a very significant majority, approve of it. You do not want to see people who are out of work, poor, can't feed their kids, go hungry. You see that kind of thing in some other countries. You'll see it in India. You'll see it in Africa. You'll see it in Asia. You'll see it in parts of South America. It's a terrible thing. Nobody should go hungry. Everybody's a human being. Nobody should go hungry. This program has worked very, very well. And to have a state legislature get a list like that, it's a sadistic thing, quite frankly. So some mom, single mom, say she has a minimum wage job and a couple of small kids, but she's not pregnant, she doesn't qualify for WIC, and they're not infants, goes in there and the cashier is supposed to monitor this and say, I'm sorry, you have cheese there, you have fresh meat and bread. Do those buns have nuts in them? They look like they have nuts in them. And you can't have pasta sauce or canned fruits, no. Soup, no. Baked beans, no. Butter, flour, no. What's left over? I don't know what's left over. They can't buy alcohol and tobacco. That's already established. This is cruel. This is flat out cruel. And what they really want to do, is get rid of food programs altogether. And, you know, that's, Iowa's an agriculture state. Farmers support this program. These people are possessed. And I don't say that in a good way, that they're possessed. They also passed a law there that Medicaid recipients, now that's for healthcare, have to work at least 20 hours a week. Well, what happens if you have a woman, single mom with two you know, a four-year-old and a six-year-old and no child care. And she has to work 20 hours a week. Maybe she tried, and what does she do with the kids type thing? Why do you say that she can't have a mammogram? Why do you say that she can't buy butter or flour or soup? Why would you say that? And, you know, the hypocrisy is mind-boggling. A lot of the big box stores, you remember Walmart and a lot of the others, traditionally had paid very low wages. Now they've had to raise them somewhat because of the staffing shortages in stores and industry. But some of them, and even now, will instruct their employees on how to apply for benefits, for Medicaid, because they don't get health care, and for food stamps, because they're getting such little money. They tell them how to do that. They'll give them a booklet. They'll have seminars on how to do it. But then the owners of those groups, like the Walmart family, contribute heavily to Republicans who campaign against Democrats who support food stamps and who support Medicaid. So they are skimming the cream off the top. They're saying, all right, we may only be paying you a little bit, but if you get Medicaid and food stamps, you can make it. And then they give a lot of money to defeat Democrats and some independents and Republicans who support Medicaid and food stamps. And everybody takes this as what, normal? What, normal? Well, this hypocrisy goes on. Somebody alluded before to the Republicans in Congress. Do you realize that in the Oversight Committee now, that's charged with investigating people, you have more 13 of them who voted to overturn the 2020 election. These are the Republican ones. 10 who have advocated impeaching either Joe Biden or one of his cabinet, and 3 who blew off their subpoenas. Scott Perry, for instance. People on there, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Scott Perry, Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert, the woman from Colorado, just put out a tweet directed to Joe Biden threatening him. Here's what she said. Just came out yesterday. Quote, Joe, let's see if your aviators, i.e. his sunglasses, can hold up to all we're about to shine on you. Who talks to a president like that? And the Oversight Committee, who's advocated impeaching him. I mean, who does that kind of thing? Fortunately, they have sent letters, and they're about to send subpoenas, by the way, to the Department of Justice and the FBI to get their files on the investigations of them. Well, today the DOJ came back and said, we don't recognize the validity of those. We here in the Department of Justice do not confirm or deny our investigations. We don't give out anything having to do with the investigations to anybody, especially the people we're investigating. Now, what's going to happen is they will refer that to the Justice Department for prosecution. And of course, Garland's Justice Department won't prosecute. And then they'll go to court and they'll look for Trump judges, and it'll get up to the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court. Now, some of them will say, well, in this case, I'm not kidding, on the Supreme Court, some of them, I don't think a majority. I don't think Roberts would do this. I know that Alito, I know that Clarence Thomas, and I think Gorsuch would. I don't know. I know Thomas wouldn't, and I don't think either Amy Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh would be bold enough to say that that when Al Capone subpoenas Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness is supposed to turn over to Al Capone all his info on Al Capone. I mean, at some point, is there a line that can't be crossed with the Supreme Court? I think that's one of them. I think that's one of them. But right now, Lauren Boebert's on this committee going to investigate and impeach Joe Biden. Joe, she called him Joe. Let's see if your aviators can hold up to all what we're about to shine on you. Are you kidding me? This is Lauren Boebert. Even in her own district, she won by 500 votes, and it's a very heavily Republican district. People can't stand her out there. This is a lawless committee of people who are criminals. Many of them wanted preemptive pardons, and these clowns are now investigating the FBI and the Justice Department. We're going to a quick break. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Burns, burns, the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind today?
I like the way you describe our congressional criminals. We have a list of criminals in Congress like we've never had. People say, well, you can't say that. They haven't been charged. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They took an oath of office. In the oath of office, they pledged to protect our country from foreign and domestic terrorism. What they committed was domestic terrorism. They either were participating in it, tried to sell it, or promoted it. So therefore, they are criminals. They just haven't gone to court. I can't believe that Biden, especially with whatever, with all that's going on, would say, we're not going to have criminals investigating the FBI. This is not what we're about. I think he's got the ability to put a presidential order over Congress. And I would say the order would go something like this. These people have to be censored. They can be there. They could maybe vote. I don't know if that comes under censorship, but they can't speak. If we allow them to speak, we show to all our enemies what a weak country we are. Thanks. I want to hear your point of view and have a good weekend.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, as you always do. You don't let Al Capone investigate Elliot Ness. You don't let Al Capone investigate the FBI. The FBI investigates Al Capone. Several of these people put in for preemptive pardons. What's that all about? I never put in for preemptive pardon. I have a clear conscience. So do you. People put in for preemptive pardons if they violated the law. Bill's exactly right. They are criminals. And now he put them on, Kevin McCarthy put them on this committee, one of the most powerful committees in Congress, because he's scared to death that any one of them, with the deal he struck, could come out and say, I want a new vote on Speaker, and then four of them or five of them will stick a knife in him and he won't be Speaker. He will let them do anything. He is a dunce. He's been, if you take his look, his eyes look dull. There's very little behind his eyes. He has absolutely no integrity. He has absolutely no sense of ethics. He denounces Trump after January 6th, and then he scurries down to kneel in front of him in Florida. He will do and say anything. He will wreck the country so that he can keep the speaker's gavel and swagger around. I mean, that's what's going on. And these people, they asked for preemptive pardons. They, you know, there were over 140 Republicans who voted not to certify Joe Biden. In other words, to overturn the election. They don't care. Bill, thanks a lot. By the way, real quick promo before I get to the next caller. Real quick promo. It's very, very exciting. We have $1 million advertising giveaway only on one day from 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26. You can get 20,000 or more in free advertising for your business or product. 20 grand professionally produced and as a marketing campaign is a big deal. So if you have any kind of small business, if you have friends who do, or if there's a, you know, it can be anything. It can be a restaurant. It can be a law firm. It can be an accounting firm. It can be any kind of small business you got. Consider taking advantage of it. I'm kind of excited about this one. We're very proud of how civic media is expanding around the state. A lot of cities now, we have virtually statewide coverage, and we're shortly going to have statewide coverage. And there you go. Look on our website, civicmedia.us/million. civicmedia.us/million. It's January 26th, a Thursday, starting at 9 a.m. You can just do a quick application and snag yourself quite a little hunk of free advertising. Go to the lines. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jake of Eureka, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt. So I suppose they put Lauren Boebert on the Oversight Committee because she has been arrested four times during the past decade. So she's kind of sort of a, you know, expert personally on the subject of crime, not to mention her husband being married to a person with some obvious sexual problems, but a convicted sex offender, Jason Boebert, her husband, who got caught showing his junk to underage girls in a bowling alley back there in Colorado before she got elected to Congress. So, they're a real family values couple. They're, of course, total hypocrites like most Republican politicians are these days. So if they're on the Oversight Committee, no one's going to take anything they do seriously at all.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jake. Yeah, this I have not heard any of this as you've described. And I'll tell you what, though. You are absolutely right, though, that she will not be taken seriously. The problem is she has a vote. And, you know, she's not alone. Marjorie Taylor Greene is on that thing. And Scott Perry is on it. He's an insurrectionist. He was the guy. He was one of the architects of it. He was one of the architects of it. And so these people are on there. I mean, 13 of them. Who voted to overturn the 2020 election on this committee. 10 of them have come out to impeach either Biden or one of his cabinet, and 3 of them were subpoenaed and blew it off and said, we're Congress and we don't have to respond. And now they're what, going to subpoena the FBI and Biden? And when they blew off subpoenas and they want to impeach him right out of the get-go, and this Lauren Boebert shoots her mouth off going, quote, Joe, let's see if your aviators, your sunglasses, can hold up to all we're about to shine on you. Jake and Bill before him are absolutely right. This committee is essentially has criminals on it. Essentially has criminals on it. Several of them wanted preemptive pardons. And the Department of Justice has pushed back and isn't going to honor any of their subpoenas. But judges are going to look at this, and unfortunately, you have 6 people on the U.S. Supreme Court who I have no confidence in whatsoever. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. They're probity at all. So stand by. It's going to be a very, very tough couple of years till the next round of elections. And it's not. And speaking of which, I just want to. This is amazing. In Arizona, Ruben Gallego, a congressman, I think a lot of him, Ruben's a good man, combat Marine, and he's a very, very good congressman. He's running for Senate. He's going to oppose Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema became an independent. The problem is Carrie Lake is probably going to run too. What I am very afraid is that with Kyrsten Sinema running, even though she's now an independent, she has a lot of name recognition down there. Ruben Gallego will have the Democratic nomination, but that's a 50-50 state. What I really don't want to see is Carrie Lake sneaking in. You know, the two of them get 30% and she gets 40, that kind of thing. So stand by. There's a lot of chess being played down there on that board, a lot of chess, and we got to keep an eye on it. We're coming to the end of the show. It was a great show, great call-ins and all, as always, great topics as always. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.